Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowns thy head with loving kindness. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Good morning. My name is Minister Clarissa Tinsley. I'm here with my husband, Reverend Anthony Tinsley, at our residence since it's snowing outside. We bring you greetings from Piney Hill Baptist Church, where Pastor Major Gilbert is our pastor and Jesus is Lord. I say good morning to all the members of Piney Hill, friends of Piney Hill, to the household of faith all together, and those who this morning are just seeking and needing to hear something, a word of hope, something other than what's been going on in your own mind, or something different than some of the disturbing news that comes across the airwaves. I'm here to tell you there is hope in God. I'm here to tell you that there is hope in Jesus Christ, and that hope is found in the kingdom of God. Pray with me, please. Holy Father, we worship you, we honor you, and we adore you, Lord. We exalt you, place, Father God, where we are right now, Lord God. Father God, wherever we might be, Lord, we just lift up holy hands and worship you because you are worthy to be praised. You are great, O God. You are great, and your majesty rules forever, Lord. Father, you are full of grace and mercy. Lord God, you give us hope in times of trouble. And Father God, even in the preaching of the word today, Father God, I just pray your anointing, Lord God, your anointing in such a way that your word hits the hearts and the ears of your people, and your people will hear, and their hearts will receive, and eyes will be open, Lord God, that we may all be encouraged in our walk in your kingdom as we glorify the Lord Jesus Christ through our lives. Father, some have come with different kinds of things on their hearts and minds and dealing with troubles of life, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that you call us for a moment of just casting aside the cares in our minds and finding rest and peace in you. Even now, Lord Jesus, I welcome your presence. I welcome your anointing. Wherever we are, Lord, we welcome your presence.
Thank you, Lord.
And we welcome your anointing.
Thank you.
Wherever we are, Lord God, we welcome your peace.
Praise you, Father.
And we welcome your joy. Yes. Wherever we are, we welcome the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Have your way in the name of Jesus Christ. And by the authority of that name, Lord God, have your way. I submit to you. Use this vessel to your glory and your honor. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, praise God. Our message this morning is going to come from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, beginning at verse 5 through verse 10. Matthew chapter 6, beginning verse 5 through verse 10. Of course, Matthew in the New Testament, first of the four Gospels, Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 10. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your secret closet, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their much speaking. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. In this manner, therefore pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we're going to stop right there. The message today is not a message on prayer, but I do hope that your prayer life will be affected and that your life will be affected by the word that's ministered today. The title of the message is Thy Kingdom Come, Thy Will Be Done. This will be at least a two-part message. Thy Kingdom Come, Thy Will Be Done is the primary title. The subtitle for today is Entrance into Kingdom Citizenship. Entrance into Kingdom Citizenship. Thy Kingdom Come, Thy Will Be Done. Now, as I said, this message is not a message about prayer, but prayerfully will affect your prayer life and your life overall. Verses 5 through 9 speaks to us about the place of prayer, the humility of prayer, the attitude of prayer, and the reward of prayer. Our focus, verse 10, and I'm going to say it again, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I am currently in a study of the book of Matthew's with Bible Study Fellowship. And what I have found in that study is that continually Jesus speaks of the kingdom of heaven, of his kingdom. His central message was on the kingdom. Throughout Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in the book of Acts, and in Revelation, the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ, you will notice that the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of light are all referred to. It is indicated that over 80 times you will see a reference in the New Testament about the kingdom of God. Now, some differentiate between the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God. But what I know is there is one king and there is one kingdom all over that is under the sovereign rule of the Most High God through Jesus Christ. Now, allow me to speak to you parabolically for a moment. In other words, in a parable sort of way about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is not just open to anyone, but it is available to everyone. You must accept the invitation signed by the nail-pierced hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, once we accept the invitation, he invites us to his banqueting table. Now, we are allowed to come to him just as we are, broke down, busted, and disgusted, stressed out, burned out, worn out. He says, come just as you are. You can come as a COE, CEO, or a doctor or a lawyer, a marketing specialist or a computer engineer with all of your intelligence, but he says, come just as you are. You can come in your Prada or your Michael Kors or your Oscar de la Renta or your Goodwill's finest. But he says, come as you are. Come as the liar, the fornicator, the murderer, the thief, he who bears false witness. But he says, come as you are. But once you accept him, once you accept the invitation, he no longer lets you remain at that place where you come just as you are. But he gives us a robe of righteousness according to the book of Isaiah chapter 61 verse 10. And not only a robe of righteousness, but the garments of salvation. Bless the Lord. He dresses us up for the occasion. Why does he give us the robe of righteousness? Because the scriptures also tells us that our righteousness is as filthy rags. All of our good works, all of our good deeds, not enough. Because our righteousness is still as a filthy rag. Being good enough doesn't qualify us to enter into his kingdom and sit at his table. One good thing about that robe of righteousness, it is one size fits all. For in Christ, we become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And if you've ever heard me preach before, you know what's likely to come next. We are not simply sinners saved by grace, but we are the righteousness, saints, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. As we come into his kingdom and come to his table, we don't walk alone, but Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, escorts us, directs us, and instructs us in proper etiquette in the presence of the King. Have you ever gone to a formal dinner affair and you sit at the table and setting in front of you and there are 8 utensils? And with this, in the kingdom of God and at his table, we don't have to wonder because Paraclete is there. The Holy Spirit is there. At the Lord's table, he puts a feast before us, and I like to call it the grand buffet. He gives us the milk of the word on his table, the milk of the word that we might grow in him. And he doesn't stop at giving us the milk of the word to help quench our thirst and to nourish us and to help us grow. But he also put plenty of fruit on the table. That fruit of the Spirit, as mentioned in the book of Galatians, he gives us that fruit to sustain us on the journey. You see, it takes strength and nourishment to live in the kingdom. To abide in the kingdom. Doesn't take as much to visit the kingdom. But if you're going to live in the kingdom, you've got to be nourished by the milk of the word. You've got to be nourished by the word of God. And not only does he give us the milk of the word on his banqueting table, but he also gives us the meat of his word. The meat of the word being those deeper truths of who he is and what he requires and what he is speaking. He gives us the meat of the word as he gives us the revelation of his word. In 1 Corinthians, it indicates that he gives us even the deep things of God, revealing his truths to us. In the natural world, the doctors tell us that we need vitamin K and calcium and vitamin C and other things because we are what we eat. Well, on this table from Galatians, we see that among that fruit, we have love, joy, and peace. Yes, if you're a believer, you got it. You have it. You have patience, kindness, and goodness. It's inside of us. We have it because the Spirit of God dwells within us. We have faithfulness and gentleness, and we have self-control because the Holy Spirit is in us. And sometimes we say, well, I don't feel like it, but the Spirit of God is still there. You may recognize sometimes you don't act like it, but it doesn't change what's inside of you. Others might observe our lives and say, I don't see any joy. I don't see any peace. I sure don't see any love. And where is the patience and the kindness and the goodness if the Lord is there? Where is the faithfulness, the gentleness, and the self-control? It's within us. But the thing about the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit being inside of us, is kind of like with these natural bodies. We can take in the nutrients, but we've got to move sometime. We've got to exercise what's in us. We've got to exercise these bodies in Christ. We've got to embrace the love that's within us, that kind of love that allows us to love those who are not as lovable as we would like for them to be. They are not quite so cuddly. As a matter of fact, sometimes they're a little bit on the prickly side. But when the fruit of the Spirit is being manifested in us, it allows us to love in spite of, to give in spite of, to help in spite of. We have all of this on the inside of us, but we have to exercise it. We have to exercise. We have to do it. We have to do patience. We have to do kindness. We have to do goodness. We have to do faithfulness and gentleness. And we have to do self-control. Moving on from the fruit. Just want you to know there are no yeast rolls on the table. Only unleavened bread, particularly not any of that unrighteous leaven. Galatians 5:9 says of the leaven that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. There is no leavened bread. There are no yeast rolls on the table. When we talk about that unrighteous leaven, it's speaking of the false teaching that was going on then and going on now. So with that, I say to you, be careful who you listen to. Be careful about what you read. Sometimes just enough truth and enough untruth can get us off balance, and we don't know what to believe. We don't know who to believe. We don't know whether to believe God, believe the word of God, believe the people of God. We don't know because too much is coming in. And I will say to you another thing. When you are listening, when you are reading, when you are receiving, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what is true and what is truth. My dear uncle, Pastor Mac Johnson, used to say, sometimes, Clarissa, you have to eat the goody and spit out the whole. Ask the Lord to reveal to you what is truth and what is Him. And not only does a little false teaching go a long way, but a little sin can go a long way also. You start with this small thing, this little, as some would say, white lie. And the next day, you have a rainbow of lies going on. Why? Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And it also says to us that we have to be concerned and watchful of who we keep company with. Do birds of a feather flock together? They do. Also on the table, that's in the kingdom, the banqueting table, there is oil and wine on the table. When we stand for the kingdom of God, or just simply live in this world, we find like the oil and the wine, sometimes we get pressed. But the Holy Spirit within us is with us through the pressing. You see, the oil represents the presence and the power of God. There is oil on the table. His presence is with us. His power is within us. We are pressed. And don't you know you can't get the oil out of the olive until the olive is pressed? We are pressed. And sometimes we have to say, Lord, I thank you for the pressing. For the pressing. Because of that pressing, I know I have your presence. Because of that pressing, I now know that you are with me and that your power is within me. Has he not said, greater is he that is in us than he that is within the world? But we don't know that we have that strength until we are pressed and have to use that strength. And then sometimes in this life, we feel like we are trampled upon like the grape. Doing good, get trampled upon. Doing not so good, get trampled upon. Trampled upon in our homes, trampled upon in the church, trampled upon on our jobs, trampled upon on the highway, trampled upon through the media. Sometimes we get trampled upon. But the wine reminds us of this sacrificial life that we are within. It reminds us of the drink offering that is offered to the Lord. It reminds us of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great sacrifice he made so that you and I might be strengthened in the journey. Oh Lord, we thank you for the oil and we thank you for the wine. Sometimes it seems a little strong to us, but we thank you for your presence. There's also honey on the table. Honey in the scriptures represent delight and prosperity and joy. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 15. Even the joy of rejecting unrighteousness and choosing what is good. Have you ever made a decision that you just knew was right in the Lord? How did it make you feel? How did it make you feel when this time you didn't compromise? How did it make you feel when this gave in? How did it make you feel when let go? Honey, in the scriptures, is also representative of the word. It speaks of in Psalm 19 that the word of God, the precepts of God, are sweeter than the honey in the honeycomb. Sweetness brings us joy, doesn't it? If we are treated sweet, it brings us joy. If we have a sweet tooth, sweetness brings us joy. There is a sweetness in walking with the Lord. When you're in your times of trouble, sometimes you just have to sit back and be still and ask Father for his sweet presence. You've heard the song, there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. Get in that quiet place. Turn on some hymns. Turn on some audio scripture. And enjoy the sweet presence of the honey of the Lord. The table of the kingdom is vast. I told you I like to call it the grand buffet. The blessings of the table of the kingdom of heaven are inexhaustible. However, the greatest marvel at the banquet is not the table. The greatest marvel at the banquet is not what's on the table. But the greatest marvel at the banquet is the host of the banquet, Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, he who shall reign forever and forevermore. So now I have two questions for you. We are done with our parable-like speaking. I have two questions for you. Have you responded to and accepted the invitation into the kingdom of God? Remember, that's what Jesus Christ talked about, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Have you responded, or is your RSVP just sitting over to the side somewhere and you're waiting and thinking to yourself, I'll get around to it. I still have time to respond. I'll do it before it's too late. I'll respond later on. Have you responded and have you accepted the invitation? Have you sent back your RSVP and said, yes, Lord? John chapter 3, verse 3 and chapter 3, verse 7 both tell us that we must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. We must be born by the Spirit of the living God. Born again. Acts chapter 16, verse 31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10 lets us know that we must confess, acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ with our mouths, not just talk about God and not just say, I want God in my life, but saying, I want the Lord Jesus Christ in my life, because it is through him that I have access to the Father. And not only does it say that we confess the Lord Jesus Christ, but we believe. Where do we believe? We believe in our hearts. And that believing is not just a matter of something that you are thinking about and you believe to be true, because the scriptures tell us that the devils believe in who he is and they tremble. But our belief comes with a submission to his love, his mercy, his commands, his grace. We submit ourselves, believing in our hearts also that God raised him from the dead. We're not serving a living Savior, but we are serving the resurrected Christ. For with the hearts we believe to righteousness. We believe in him and what he has done so much that it changes who we are. We allow, because we believe of who he is and the righteousness that comes with him, we believe to the point that we are allowing ourselves to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Have you accepted the invitation? And the second question is, if you have accepted the invitation, do you appreciate your citizenship in the kingdom? Are you a good citizen in the kingdom of God? Are you an ambassador for the kingdom of God? Are you a good representative for the kingdom of light? Oh, we've been called to let our light so shine before men that they will see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Are you a representative of the kingdom of light?
All right.
Or are you a representative of the kingdom of darkness? Oh, we must make a choice. And no choice is still a choice. Either we choose to receive him, accept him, and move on, or we choose to reject him. Are you a good citizen? Just last month, we celebrated the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But more than celebrating his birth for a season, he desires that we celebrate his kingship, his lordship in our lives on a daily basis. The book of Matthew starts by telling us about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the remainder of the book is focused on his kingdom and citizenship in his kingdom in this age and in the age to come. God gave John the Baptist the message, prepare the way, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He gave the message to John the Baptist, repent, for the king of heaven is at hand. And then we see Jesus being tempted in the wilderness, but he let Satan know that he wasn't going to obey him. He wasn't going to bow down to him, and he was not going to worship him. By the time Jesus was done with Satan, Satan, as you will, tucked his tail between his legs and he went away. After Satan went away, the angels came and they ministered to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Lord Jesus began to preach. And what was his message? In Matthew, I believe it's chapter 3, he begins to preach, not prepare the way, but that the kingdom of heaven is here. How could he declare the kingdom of heaven is here? Because the king was in place. What was his message? His message was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. His message is the same to you and to me. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. To the saint and the sinner, the saved and the lost, the message is the same. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. To the atheist and the agnostic, the message does not change. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The message has not changed from the Spirit of the living God to the Baptist, the Pentecostal, the Catholic, the Mormon, the Latter-day Saint, and the Muslim. The message is the same. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. To the heterosexual, the bisexual, the transsexual, the pansexual, whatever sexual, the message remains the same. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. To the businessman, the doctor, the teacher, to the factory worker, the message remains the same. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. To the apostle, the preacher, the pastor, the teacher, to the evangelist, the message does not change. He is still saying, by the Spirit, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. To the trustee, the choir member, the usher, the officer, the committee chair, the prayer warrior, to the mother of the church, to the babes in the church, the message remains the same. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus Christ has come. Now, just in case someone is saying, what does that mean? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In the simplest form, it simply is saying, relinquish, give over dominion, and submit your life to the Lord of the kingdom, who is Jesus Christ, the Lord. We sing the song in the Baptist church and probably many other churches. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. When we relinquish dominion, it says everything must bow. Every knee must bow. The knee of pride must bow in his presence. The knee of stubbornness must bow in his presence. The knee of iniquity must bow down in the presence of the Lord. You see, speaking of that song, there are so many other songs that we sing about all the time, indicating that we are relinquishing our right to rule our own lives and submitting ourselves to the life of Jesus Christ and to the word of the Lord God. We sing, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his service. Once a week? No. Just on the weekend? Oh, no way. But in his service, daily live. I surrender all. We sing songs like, have thine own way. Have thine own way. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. But the Lord can mold us if we keep jumping off the potter's wheel. We have to stay in place and allow him to shape us and mold us and make us. So many times I've heard the testimony, and I know you have too. I'm not what I ought to be, but I thank God that I'm not what I used to be. We must stay on the potter's wheel and allow the Lord to continue to do his work. I love the little children's song. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be, submitted to him and giving him honor and glory through our lives. Have we not been called to do everything that we do as unto the Lord? Hallelujah. We sing another song. I say, yes, Lord, yes. To your will and to your way. I say, yes, Lord, yes, I will. Yeah, that's it. Trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart, I'll agree. And my answer will be, yes, Lord, yes. Oh, let us sing what is true. Let us say, yes, Lord, submitting ourselves to the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ, living a lifestyle where we are continually repenting so that we can know that we are lining up with the word, repenting, having that remorse in your heart for anything that is in your life that you know does not line up with the word of God. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hallelujah. Now, you may say, you know, I don't really identify with this repentance thing. I'm a good person. Submit yourself to the kingdom of God. I go to church. I go to the temple. I go to the mosque. I go to the hall. I knock on doors. Submit yourself to the Lord of the kingdom. I don't bother anybody. That's good. But we must submit ourselves to the Lord of the kingdom. You may say, but you don't know who I am. And you don't know what I've done. It's okay. His grace, his blood covers it all. Submit yourself to the Lord of the kingdom. And you might say that with a slightly different intonation. You don't know who I am. You don't know what I've done. Speaking in pride, I say to you, submit yourself to the Lord of the kingdom. I'm all right. Are you sure? Submit yourself to the Lord of the kingdom. Or maybe some of you might say, like a friend of mine used to say, me and the Lord have an understanding. God's understanding is his word and how we respond to his word. We must submit ourselves to the Lord of the kingdom. All right. So today the focus has been on the kingdom. What does verse 10 of Matthew chapter 6 of the model prayer say? It says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus said to his disciples, pray this way. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I think we're going to stop right there. Next week, we will illuminate just a little bit more on the kingdom of heaven, and then we will move into thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to call my husband to join me, because one thing that we are going to focus on next week is the definition of the kingdom of God. And, you know, there are many things that we can say, but I like what's written in Romans chapter 14, verse 17. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Some years ago, I would say in the late 1990s, the Lord gave me a song and allowed me to pen it and put a melody to it about the kingdom of God. And Reverend Tinsley and I are going to share that with you this morning as we prepare to close out. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. my righteousness I have given to you, that you might walk in holiness. Others are looking to you for a standard in me. So walk upright, be steadfast, cause none to stumble. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Trust in my word, it will give you peace. Partake of it, write it on the table of your heart. Then when trouble comes, you won't be cast down, because your inward man is being renewed day by day. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. With the oil of joy, I anoint my people. Your countenance shines as the light of day. Just worship and praise my name all the days of your life. When you lift me up, I'll lift you up. Together we'll reign. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Holy Father, we thank you for worship. We thank you for the word. We thank you for working in us. We are so thankful that you who have begun a good work in us will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Oh, Father God, I thank you, Lord, for the word falling on good ground today. Father God, thank you that in your kingdom we can have your righteousness, and in your kingdom we can have your joy, and in your kingdom we can have your peace. Not only can we, but I declare even now that right now we have the righteousness, and right now we have the peace, and right now we have the joy. We embrace all that you give us as a part of your kingdom. You have given us every spiritual blessing, allowing us to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You have positioned us in you that you might care for us, comfort us, Lord God. Instruct us, Lord, in all the ways of the kingdom. Father God, while we are resting in you and trusting you, I ask you to meet the family members of Piney Hill Baptist Church, and not just Piney Hill, but churches all around who have members who are going through things, and not only in our churches, but in our homes, Lord God. Lord, there are pains, and there are confusions, and there are loneliness, and there are depressions, Lord God. There are so many things that are pulling on your people. So many of your people are feeling pressed even now. Some are feeling trampled upon even now. Some are beginning to become weary in their well-doing. But Lord, I ask you even now to remind them, remind us, remind me to be not weary in well-doing, to be steadfast in you, to be steadfast in faith, to be steadfast in hope, to not to fear what is before us, not to fear and lose faith because of what we hear, what we see, what we think, what we experience, but know that we can put our confidence and our trust in you. Help us to hear, Lord God, hear the voice, the Spirit of God speaking to us and saying to us, let not your heart be troubled. Father God, it is our desire, praying as you taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in our churches. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this nation. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Accept the invitation. To God be the glory. Grace and peace to you. See you next week at 10 o'clock.